Thank you so much. Good to be here. As Paul was singing, I thought, I sure like his daddy, Henry, but the more time I spend around him, I like him a lot too. Thank you, Paul. That was outstanding, outstanding. It sounds like that you believe Christ is all, that it's all about Him. I appreciate your pastors inviting me here. You can be turning to Ephesians chapter 2. It's an honor. It's a real honor for me to be here. And I'm staying with him in his home, he and Hannah. He even kicked out his daddy and mother-in-law so I could stay there. You can deal with that. In 2 weeks, 2 weeks from today, actually. Yeah. These are preliminary remarks. You still want it on? Okay. I might forget otherwise. Okay. 2 weeks from today, September 29th through October the 1st, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we'll be having our conference in Sylacauga, Alabama. And you're all invited to come. Brothers Don Fortner and Bruce Crabtree and Darvin Pruitt will be doing the preaching. All the information is on Free Grace Radio. So I pray that the Lord will allow some of you to come. We would love to have you. We've all heard the expression, don't ask me to explain exactly what is meant by it. I have an idea, but the expression, all roads lead to Rome. Well, I question that, don't you? But I know this. In this book, in God's Word, whether you go back to Genesis and start forward, or you go forward to Revelation and start backward, all roads lead to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this book is about. It's all about Him. All about Him. That's the title of my message. It's all about Christ. One time, you remember, there was some men came to our Lord. This is recorded in Matthew chapter 8. And one of them said, Master, I'll follow you anywhere you go. I'm ready. And our Lord said, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have anywhere to lay his head. You sure you want to follow me? And the man said, well, Lord, allow me first. Me first. Me first. And the Lord wouldn't allow that. It's Christ first. Not me and not you. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about Him, isn't it? Here in Ephesians chapter 2, I want to read just two verses. Just two verses here. And then we'll go to Philippians chapter 3 and read a few more verses. First, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. Paul writing, and he says, now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, not foundations, foundation. Jesus Christ Himself. Don't you like the sound of that? Don't you like the ring of those words? Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ Himself. It's all about Him. Now, turn, if you will, to Philippians chapter 3. We'll read just a few verses here, verses 7 through 10. Very, very familiar. Both of these places are very familiar to you. Verse 7 of Philippians 3. But, Paul is referring back to those things he'd already mentioned in the previous verses. He's speaking of that when he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. The first message that Charles Spurgeon preached after the construction of the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, after they had opening services, but when they began to conduct regular services, Mr. Spurgeon, on March the 25th, 1861, took this as his text, Acts 5 and 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they, that is the apostles, ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They seemed to think, the apostles, that it was all about Him. All about Christ. And you know what? If you think you've progressed to something more than that, or better than that, or in addition to that, or besides that, you've not progressed at all. You've gone backwards. Because it's all about Him. Mr. Spurgeon said in his message, as he introduced the message from that text, he said, I would propose that the subject of the ministry of this house, as long as this platform shall stand, and as long as this house shall be frequented by worshipers, shall be the person of Jesus Christ. I am never ashamed, he said, to avow myself a Calvinist, although I claim to be rather a Calvinist according to Calvin and then after the modern debased fashion. I do not hesitate to take the name of Baptist, but, I like this the best, but if I am asked to say what is my creed, I think I must reply, it is Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus, who is the sum and the substance of the gospel, who is in Himself all theology, the incarnation of every precious truth, the all-glorious personal embodiment of the way, the truth, and the life. Mr. Spurgeon agreed with Paul. It's all about Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 3, verse 8, notice again. Paul speaks of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. In verse 7, he said, for that knowledge, for that knowing Him, that is Christ, I counted, past tense, I counted all things lost. All those things he mentions in verses 3 through 6. All those things that he once trusted in Paul with all his being. Those things that as Saul of Tarsus, he had no doubt recommended him acceptable before God Almighty. Man, he worked hard every day to weave that robe of self-righteousness, and he thought if anybody, if any man has reason whereof he might trust in the flesh, man, take a look at me. I've got more than any of you ever dreamed of. And Paul said, I counted it all loss for this. For what, Paul? What in the world would you toss that aside for? What in the world could equal that? More than equal. He said, for the knowledge, the excellent knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, I counted all those things as loss. Paul, that's been a number of years now since you cast all that aside when God was pleased to reveal His Son to you and in you. Let me ask you, Paul, have you advanced beyond that place yet? Have you grown any more in your desire, in your ambition since that time? And Paul would look at you, perhaps scratch his head and say, are you kidding me? Did you not hear what I said? I'm talking about knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on in verse 8 and says in answer to that question, I count. Not just that I counted, I count. Whatever may happen today, whatever may rear its head as a rival to Jesus Christ, whatever it may be, I count it dung for the excellency of the knowledge. Everything past, everything today, everything tomorrow, compared to knowing Him. Nothing is better than this. Paul would say, I want to know Him more, but I don't want to know anything besides Him. As we sing, more about Jesus would I know. Nothing's comparable to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the original, the word here that is used for excellency, it means far surpassing. The excellency of the knowledge is far surpassing knowledge. Superlative knowledge. Nothing like this. Compared to what, Paul? Anything. Anything. Everything. Paul went to Corinth and looked at all those philosophers had to offer. The wise men of the world. And Paul just looks around. He takes it all in. And he doesn't give a flip. Boy, all of it put together. He looks around and he says, let me tell you this. I'm determined to know nothing among you. You've showed me nothing. There is no attraction equal to this. I'm not deterred for a moment. God enable me to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There's nothing like Him. It's all about Him. Paul was well content to part with a sky full of stars in order to have the Son of Righteousness. What was it, a month or so ago? Probably longer than that time. Goes by faster and faster for me. But the eclipse, it was big news, big news. I was inside. I couldn't find. I was going to get me some of those glasses or lens so it'd be safe to look at it. But couldn't find any anywhere. But I noticed even from inside the house that it was beginning to get dark. So I went out and, you know, I didn't look up at the sun. They said, don't do that. Where's Todd? I said, that would be stupid. Don't do that. So I didn't. But it was, I don't remember what they said. It'll happen again in 100 years or something. But I know this. That eclipse of that sun, I know this. When the Son of God arises with healing in His wings, when the Son of God is pleased to turn on the light in any sinner's darkened soul and reveal Himself to them, there'll never be an eclipse of that blessed, blessed experience. Oh, we'll just grow and grow in our knowledge of Him. I'm convinced that even in eternity, we'll not cease to grow in our knowledge and appreciation. Oh, what did the hymn writer say? When I see Thee as Thou art, and I love Thee with an unsinning heart. Oh, wow, Gabe. I can only imagine. With an unsinning heart, nothing between me and my Savior will grow in knowledge. A martyr by the name of John Lambert, many years ago, was being burned at the stake. And even as the flames were engulfing his body and his hands, he raised those hands in flame and cried, "None but Christ. None but Christ. It's all about Him." Turn, if you will, to Jeremiah. Again, these are all familiar texts to you. But it won't hurt us to look at it, will it? To be reminded of this. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. "Thus saith the Lord." This is what God says to you and I, believers, to whom He has revealed His Son. He says, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches." But He gives us something to glory in. You can exercise all the elbow room you've got, and you won't stretch this far. "Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me." Wow. Wow. You mean a nobody like Larry Chris? People, I ran into somebody just the other day. "What's your name, Larry?" "What's your last name, Chris?" "What? You've got two first names." "Yeah, I guess I do. I got a middle name. It's Wayne." Pretty simple. Pretty plain. Never in my wildest dreams, Kyle, growing up, did I ever think this hillbilly from West Virginia, whose daddy was a coal miner, would one day have the Lord Jesus Christ revealed to him. My soul, what a miracle. What a wonder. Larry Chris, glory in that. Glory in that. With Paul, let us say it's all about Christ. He says that I may know Him, then the power of His resurrection, and then the fellowship of His sufferings. But first and foremost, I must know Him. I must know Christ, and then His blessed doctrine. Because as we all know, and perhaps have experienced and seen in others, sad to say, doctrine without Christ is just an empty tomb. It's just dead. It's just dead. Jesus Christ Himself is the beauty. He Himself, as we read concerning Spurgeon's sermon, his first sermon at the tabernacle, Jesus Christ Himself gives the beauty, the loveliness, those precious truths we hold so dear. They derive their beauty from Him. Without Him, they're nothing but empty shells, just dry bones. Chosen, election, like Todd, I like that word. But brothers and sisters in Christ, when we think about election, we don't think about an it. We think about who. We look back in eternity past, as we say, I don't know how else to express it, And we see God Almighty saying to His Son, Thou art my first elect, God said, and then He chose all us in Christ our head. Behold, the Lamb of God. It's all about Him. Called. It pleased God, Paul wrote, to call me out of darkness. When it pleased God to call me by His grace, to reveal His Son in me, Paul said, immediately I preached about things. No, he didn't. He said, I preached Him. I preached Him. I began preaching Him. I continued preaching Him. And I convinced until that executioner severed Paul's head from his body, he was still talking about Him. Until he went to glory and saw that one who loved him and gave himself for him. Accepted, yes, accepted by God. As Todd preached, what a blessed, blessed, comforting thought. God accepts me. Marvin, God accepts me. I'm accepted. Oh, but the beauty of that is that one in whom I'm accepted. Oh, there's the beauty. I'm accepted in His Son. Oh, I'm as accepted as His Son. I'm as loved as His Son. It's all about Him. I hear people talk about heaven or their concept of heaven. Pretty wild ideas. My soul, brothers and sisters, I know you. I don't need to tell you that. The glory of heaven. The heaven of heaven. The blessings of all blessings will be this. Try this on. I mean, I don't have a lot of gray matter. I can't afford to lose any. But I'll tell you this, if I had all of ours combined, I cannot grasp this. I'm promised by God Himself, God who cannot lie. I'm told that I shall see His face, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's heaven. That's heaven. David, hear people talk about streets of gold and bigger crowns. I'm about to use that word again, God. Oh, no. Heaven is this. Heaven is this. We shall see His face. It's all about Him. A moment ago, we sang a few hymns before I came up here from your hymn book, Great Hymns of the Faith. Same one we use in Sylacauga. Good hymn book. We use it. But this book, that book you're holding in your lap, it's a hymn book too, isn't it? But it's not H-Y-M-N. It's H-I-M. Jesus Christ Himself. That's what Paul said. Oh, that I might know Him. Now, circle Him. Circle Him. I remember hearing a story and I hope I get it right because I heard you tell it, Paul. It's your story. I hope I don't mess it up to detract from the preciousness of it. But about you visiting a friend in the hospital, if I recall, it's been a long time, and that I heard you tell this, and I think she was suffering from Alzheimer's. Okay, he nods, I feel better. And he sat down and said, Sister, how are you doing today? Talked a little bit, visited a little bit, and he could tell. He could tell by the expression on her face, she didn't know who he was, didn't have a clue. And she said, I'm sorry, I just don't remember you. And Paul said, well, that's all right. But you remember my daddy, I'm sure. I know you know my father, Henry Mahan. And the poor dear lady looked and said, I'm sorry. I don't know him either. I love his story. And Paul said, well, that's okay because I come to talk to you about Jesus Christ. And her eyes lit up and said, oh, yeah, I know him. I know him. And Paul told her, well, then you can forget all about me. In John chapter 4, our Lord, the great shepherd of the sheep, went on purpose through Samaria because there was one there that the Father had entrusted into His hands before He ever created this world. And the time of love had come. And He went and found that sheep on purpose. Just intercepted or just got right in their way. Aren't you glad He does? I read something the other day, I don't know where, but it said, you know, God's a gentleman and He never imposes His will on anybody. Now, I've heard that all my life, but I saw it right in print. Lynn, I'm not going to get in trouble with you because I'm not married to you. That's stupid. That's just stupid. I'm thankful that God imposes His will. Aren't you, Fred? You wouldn't be saved if He didn't. Thank God. I mean, I hear people quote this verse and they grit their teeth, you know, and turn all red and the sweat pops out. Man, I rejoice in this. I smile when I hear, it's not of him that willeth, and it's not of him that runneth. Thank God it's of him that showeth mercy, because nobody would be saved otherwise. Is that not so? He said to this woman at the well, lady, if you knew, Now, she had religion. She had some religion. She took it out and, you know, showed the Lord her fig leaves. He pretty much ignored them. So you don't know what you worship. You don't have a clue who God is. But he said, if you knew the gift of God, remember what he said? And not what? She knew. She already had some what's. He said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's talking to you right now. If you knew who I am, you would ask of me. I'm the fountain of living water. You've drank from every well this world has to offer, and you just keep coming up thirsty and thirsty and thirsty. Anybody like that here tonight? Anybody thirsty? Anybody like this woman in John 4? I mean, you know, what was the old saying? I think it was a beer commercial or something. You only go around once in life, get all you can get, grab all you can. Well, you've tried it, but you're thirsty. Not satisfied. The Lord says to you, like He did this woman, if you knew who was talking to you, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, I'll give you a drink. You would ask me, and I'd give it to you. Ask me, He says, ask me. I'll give it to you. I'll give you a drink and you'll never thirst again. Child of God, is that not so? Did you not find it to be so? Oh, we thirst for just more of Him. More of His grace, more of His love, more of His person, more of His presence. On the Damascus Road, Saul of Tarsus had just a whole saddlebag full of what's. But then he met who? And he threw him away. Take him out with the rest of the trash. It's rubbish. It's dung. I've met who? I've met the Lord Jesus Christ. I've met that one that all the prophets I studied were talking about. And the Psalm. And Moses. It's all about him. Paul met who? And he never got over it. In John chapter 17, that's exactly what our Lord prayed, didn't he? Father, you've given me power over most flesh. No. You've given me power over all flesh that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. That brings back a sweet memory for me. Not long, just a couple of months after I moved to Sylacauga, about the first weekend or so in January, I came to church one Sunday morning, and I'd been there maybe 3 months, and there was a couple. And it's not hard to notice when you've got visitors. But like Bruce, I was visiting with Bruce Crabtree, spent a night or two at his house a few months ago, and I said, Bruce, how many do you have now? How many do you pastor? He said, under 500. And I said, me too. But there was this couple, and I chatted with them, introduced myself. They introduced themselves, and then I preached. from that very text that I quoted a moment ago, John 17 and 3. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou didst send. And after service is over, we chatted a little bit more, and then they left. They were about 100 miles away. And I thought, Paul couldn't help but think, wonder if I ever see them again. Wonder if they'll be back. Wonder what they were looking for. Because all I preached was Christ. Him. I wonder if that was enough for them. Well, glory to His name it was. Because they came back. And they came back. And they came back. And they've been making that 100-mile trip one way every Sunday. Every Sunday. Baptized John and Kay Copeland not long after. He's a faithful, faithful man. Taking care of the service for me tomorrow. Oh, yes, it's all about Him, isn't it? But without Christ, we're without grace. Paul in Romans 5 said, grace comes by one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Christ, we're without God. Because Christ Himself said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. Without Christ, we're without hope. Oh, but if I have Christ, if I'm His, I have every right to expect. If I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, I have every right to expect. If God Almighty is true to His Word, of course, I have every right to expect when this life is over and I stand before God Almighty to hear, not depart from me. Oh, without Christ I would. But having Christ to hear, enter in. Enter into the joy. This is all for you. This has all been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Welcome home. Welcome home. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. After Paul met the Lord, the Lord being revealed to him, that was Paul's constant theme, wasn't it? That was the object of his trust, the subject of his ministry, and the joy of his heart. Everything about Jesus Christ was interesting to Paul, wasn't it? Everything. He never wearied of thinking of Christ, speaking of Christ, learning Christ. He went on in his work. He went on his way with the desire constantly rising in his heart that I may know Him. The glory of His person, the riches of His grace, the magnificence of His mighty work of salvation, the excellency of His natures, God-man, and the majesty of His kingdom. Christ, to Paul, was the apple of his eye, and more precious than all things in earth or heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, Him, the Alpha and Omega, Him, the first and the last, Him, the center and the circumference, Him, are all in all. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells the only place it could dwell, in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. That being so, can a believer be anything other than complete? If I'm in Christ, and every believer is in Christ, and Christ in Him dwells all fullness, and I'm in that fullness, how can I lack anything? I know when God first saved me, I would sometimes be buttonholed by these people that wanted to enlighten me because they perceived that Larry just hadn't got it yet. There was more. I didn't jabber in some kind of unknown gibberish. So they, Larry, there's a second. I said, now I was a young believer, Paul, but I thought, wait a minute. Well, I'm in Christ. Christ is all. He is made by God unto me wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And you're telling me I lack something? No. I'm complete. I'm complete in Him, and I thank God for it. Oh, to know experimentally. That's the next word, to know. And there's only two words. First Him, then know, then I. to know, not as Paul once knew of the Lord Jesus Christ, not as Jesus of Nazareth. I think this is what he means in 2 Corinthians 5 when he said, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth know we him no more in that way. I think Paul said there was a time it was just a head knowledge with me. I knew of him. Just fleshly knowledge. Oh, but now Paul speaks of knowing Christ experimentally. And don't be afraid of that word. Knowing Christ by a personal experience. I don't mean that charismatic nonsense, but being by the grace of God enabled to say, I know whom I have believed. That's what Paul said in Philippians 1 verse 9. Turn back there, if you will, for just a moment. Verse 9. Paul says, not only was it his desire and ambition and goal to know Christ, that was what he prayed for other believers to have. Verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. The word there, judgment, it means discernment. It means sensible perception is what the word means as it's used there. Paul wanted them to know that God loved them. And Paul wanted them to know that they loved him, that is God, because he first loved them. That was Paul's desire. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul speaks about, after 3 years in the deserts of Arabia, going up to Jerusalem. And we're told there, or Paul tells us that for 15 days, he went up to see Peter. And for 15 days, he abode with Peter. Galatians 1 verse 18. You know what the word see means? It didn't mean just to go and say, Peter, how you doing, top of the morning to you. It means to interrogate. The word means to interrogate. Can you imagine that? I mean, Paul sat down and said, Peter, tell me everything you know. Tell me, what was it like to walk with him? What was it like for those 3.5 years? Peter, tell me everything. Tell me about that night on the sea when you were sinking and the master of the sea reached out and picked you up. Tell me about. And Peter, is it true that he stood on the deck of that ship and spoke to that angry sea, peace be still, and it laid down at his feet like a dog obeys his master's voice. Peter, tell me everything. He interrogated him night and day. Why? Because he wanted to know more about him, the Lord Jesus Christ. This was Paul's desire. God make it ours. The last word here, and we'll be done. Paul says, that I may know him. I, by my own experience of his grace, like the thief on the cross, Lord, remember me. Remember me. I can't see him through someone else's eyes. And I can't love him with someone else's heart. And I can't know Christ by someone else's experience of it. It's not possible. Remember when in Acts chapter 19, I believe it is, there was some sons of exorcist that saw Paul casting out devils. I think they were the 7 sons of Sceva. Is that right? And they got together. There was this man possessed, and these 7 sons got together and they said, we adjure you by the Jesus that Paul preaches, come out of the man. They didn't know Christ. But they said, we adjure you by, Paul knows him. The Jesus that Paul preaches, come out. Said that devil jumped on him. And he said, Paul I know, and Jesus I know, but I don't know you, rascal. And jumped on him and just get him what I would call just an old-fashioned whooping. Just something. No, second-hand salvation just doesn't work. Salvation by proxy just doesn't work. Turn, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 61, and we'll wrap this up. Chapter 61. Isaiah. verse 1. Isaiah 61 and 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the speaker. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Remember that, brothers and sisters in Christ, when God got you lost. That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Our disease is just rooted too deep to be healed by any other than the great physician. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood. Oh, can you just imagine that? Can you picture that? Oh, my soul, what a Savior. By His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Worthy is the Lamb. I listened to a CD I had. I forgot I had it. I was digging around in the console, and I stuck it in driving down. It was some hymns by old Brother Milton Howard. And he sang this one on that CD. It's just a homemade CD, so to speak. But you know the hymn. Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, and I was wretched and vile as could be. But my Savior above gave me peace, joy, and love when He reached down His hand for me. Was it Jeremiah who said, I remember the warm wood and the gall. I still have them in remembrance. Remember when God forced you by His grace to cry out, oh, have mercy upon me, thou son of David. Did you go through a spell like me, wondering if He would? How can He save a wretch like me, a rebel like me? With thoughts like that, I was nearing despair when He came to me there. And He showed me that I could be free. Then He lifted my feet, gave me gladness complete when He reached down His hand for me. When He reached down His hand for me, He had to reach way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or His Son. But He reached down His hand for me. That's amazing. God bless you. Thank you for your attention.